Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Hello, Zamet here, idiot in charge and terrible D&D player, speaking directly in your ear to tell you that we made a board game based on the Jaren's Outpost campaign and it's almost here. To coincide with the Jaren's Outpost board game launching soon on Kickstarter, we hired sound engineer Sean Allen to take a look at the original Jaren's Outpost podcast and to see if he could make it better. The original audio was split over two seasons, had different length episodes, and was recorded with an oscillating fan in the room because it was hot at the time and we are very stupid. We really didn't make it easy for him. Jaren's Outpost has been remastered, abridged, and enhanced with sound effects and soundscapes to offer a truly unique experience to one of our more beloved campaigns. Best listened with headphones, and if you haven't already, head on over to the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and give us a follow to be notified when we launch. We're releasing these episodes weekly, but if you want to listen to the whole remastered campaign and help your favorite D&D podcast pay off those debts that this board game has cost us, just head to our website, sanspantsradio.com, and you can purchase the enhanced edition of Jaren's Outpost as a digital download. It also includes a few extra tracks, like the Ballad of Greg Piss. Now, without further ado, here's the enhanced edition of Jaren's Outpost.
Jaren's Outpost is a bustling city located in the nation of Goldcrest.
A nation that nobody cared about until the king was slain by a bunch of adventurers.
Unfortunately, adventurers did what adventurers do, and they didn't think of the consequences of killing a powerful tyrant, and they promptly left the citizens of Goldcrest to figure it out for themselves.
For now, Jaren's Outpost is a melting pot of religions,
criminals, politics, and paranoia, with everyone keeping everyone else in check.
But all that's about to change. Welcome to the enhanced edition of Jaren's Outpost.
It's been nearly 5 years to the day now since a massive uprising swept the nation of Goldcrest. The king of Goldcrest ruled his kingdom with an iron fist, killing any who opposed him and imprisoning the rest, either in actual jails or just within the country itself, not allowing his people free travel. But a party of adventurers traveled to the capital of Goldcrest, and killed the king of Goldcrest, King Goldcrest.
Well, that's just right.
During the riots and the violence of the uprising, the gnomes in the city of Jaren's Outpost within the nation of Goldcrest busted out a new and terrifying weapon that they had been working on but never used. You all heard that it killed 100 people in less than 5 minutes. After that initial mass riot, no one saw the weapon again. The gnomes dismantled it and packed it away, it having served its purpose of protecting them and their, stock. After the, shall we say, assassination of the king, things did not immediately become better. Mercenary companies, under the supervision of the adventurers, began the slow transition of Goldcrest from a dictatorship to a more diplomatic country. But the adventurers, as adventurers are wont to do, left. And mercenary companies, understanding that there was more money in overtaxing a population, simply settled in at the position that the king once held. When mercenaries began consolidating their findings after the adventurers stopped supervising them, Jaren's Outpost was deemed not worth the time. So it became a kind of lawless wasteland. And in that chaos, a band of orcs landed at Jaren's Outpost, seizing the docks and beginning an awful campaign against the rest of the city. One of the first things they did was steal the weapon that the gnomes had created. But because the gnomes had dismantled the weapon and orcs are not very smart, They have yet to be able to harness the power of whatever this awful device is. Leo
yes.
Shadow. You came at first to liberate Jaren's outpost from the Black Hand.
Yeah, they were stomping on the little guy, and I'm a little guy.
The mercenary group who was stomping on the little guy.
I'm a halfling.
It was implied.
That was during the period where the adventurers were still supervising the mercenaries. So Jaren's outpost had some, if poor, lore to it. When you came to Jaren's outpost, however, it quickly became apparent that while the Black Hand were not great, some law is better than no law. So you kind of just assimilated into Jaren's outpost. You found work in Little Teagle Eye, the halfling quarter. Teagle Eye is where they come from.
Hey. So does it get like a Soho abbreviation? Is it called like Light Eye or something like that?
Yeah, I'm from Light Eye.
All right. So Little Teagle Eye is run by the halfling families. The halfling families might as well be mafioso families.
Yeah. So I fell in with the mob?
Yes.
Straight up?
Yes.
Literally moved into Little Italy or Little Sicily and joined the mafia.
You found that it was easier to assimilate with your own kind than with the rest of the city, who tend to kind of rightly have prejudices against halflings.
Not fair.
You're thieves.
We are.
Well, specifically you work for the Little Low family.
Little Low?
Yeah, Little Low. Run by Papa Little Low. Hang on, wait. Papa Little Low. Nah, that's not any better.
Yeah, okay.
I need like
cotton balls.
Yeah, I need cotton balls to stuff in my mouth.
Papa Little Low. Papa Little Low. That's pretty good.
By day, you work in their restaurant as a waiter.
That is good.
By night, you go round the back. They roll out a top. You cast the grease spell upon the top. They apply a gnomish salve that makes the grease spell last longer than a round, I think it lasts. And then you squeeze it into bottles and sell it as Little Low Premium Olive Oil.
Do we form a grease grift?
It's not really a grift. It actually is, like, good oil.
All right. Legitimate industry.
That's legitimate business right there. You started this simply because the Black Hand, they were just imposing so many tax rates on this sort of stuff. So you avoided tax by avoiding a paper trail.
Instead, just have a grease trail.
Like a snail.
So I can only cast a certain amount of, like, magic in a day. So I have to, like, hold out.
Oh, yeah.
Or else Lilo's going to be mad at me.
Papa Little Low.
Little Low? Can I call him Lilo?
No, you're not that friendly with him.
Face.
But like Lilo from Light Eye, come on.
You are not that friendly with him. His son calls him Papa Little Low.
His wife calls him Papa Little Low. And his grandfather also calls him Papa Little Low.
What his wife calls him behind closed doors is none of your business. And you're going to wake up with a fucking owlbear head next to you.
I like that especially because horses exist.
You were once a member of a very prestigious thieves guild known as the Shadow. They currently want you dead, but the fact that you were once a member is kind of still a big deal. And that's probably why you got the job with the Little Low family. They respected your
protection.
Past. Now, you're in a little bit of a pickle right now.
Oh, geez.
Because a couple weeks ago...
Is it a Little Low bit of a pickle?
It's quite a big little pickle, actually. Papa Little Low personally called you into his office, and that's like a big deal. You've spoken with Papa Little Low maybe 4 times. He called you in to tell you,
Leo, I need something from you.
Yes.
You were once a member of the Shadow, the Assassins and Thieves Guild, yes?
In a way, yes.
Yes. You have experience.
Do they know that I, like, got kicked out?
Probably a little bit of a secret that you're...
Yes, I was. In
but
the
like,
Shadow.
Maybe they know. You don't know 100%.
I keep it very vague.
That you were, like I said, that you were in it all is kind of a big deal.
I've been thinking on this for quite some time now. The orcs, they represent a chaos I cannot abide by in my town. I want you to steal or destroy... Whatever it is they have, this gnomish weapon.
Okay, little low. No.
I do not...
Little low.
Papa little low.
Papa little low.
I do not care how it gets... I do not care how it gets done. Only that it is done.
Yes, yes, Papa. I will do this thing. Do I kiss his rings? Is that the...
He reaches out with his hand with a ring of protection.
They say this ring of protection offers me a +5 AC, but kissing it technically offers you +5 AC.
Thank you, little.
Out of my office.
Papa, I scurry out.
All right. So, for copyright reasons, we obviously can't play the Mafia soundtrack. The Godfather, sorry, soundtrack. Yeah, yeah. But, like, I'm imagining you walking out dressed as, like, a old-fashioned newsboy. You're about a halfway.
Yeah. I imagine, like, still in waiter gear.
You walk out the back of the restaurant. Maybe to have a smoke, because, fuck, that was stressful.
Calm those nerves of yours.
Yep, not fair.
Out of nowhere, you get grabbed by two thugs. And thrown into the back of a carriage.
Oh, I kind of... day is this for you.
By the time that you get your bearings, another halfling has a knife at your throat, and you're looking across the carriage at Papa Quiet Knife.
Hi, Papa Quiet Knife.
Do I know him?
Papa Quiet Knife is the patriarch of the Quiet Knife family. You don't know him very well. You know him more by name than anything else.
Would I recognize that it is Papa Quiet Knife?
You don't really recognize his face. You recognize the methods. So... there are three big families in, well, Little Teagle Eye, but also Jaren's Outpost. I like that you guys are
taking notes or just drawing doodles.
Taking notes. I need to know the halfling family.
I know who these three big families are.
Surprisingly, yeah. Jackson is also taking notes.
All right, not just so drawing the big
sausage
families,
man or whatever.
The big families are the Little Loaf family, which is the smallest family, but the oldest family, and it commands the most respect. Mm-hmm. There's the Shorefoot family. The Shorefoot family is the biggest one, but the youngest. They don't have a lot of respect.
Okay.
It's all about respect. And the Quiet Knife family is the strongest family, but the violentest family. They're the ones most in trouble with the law the most consistently, because they just, like, every punishment is a Colombian necktie. Sorry, a orcish necktie. So you recognize this family, you recognize who you're sitting across from and which family you're dealing with simply because of the methods that they grabbed you.
All right.
Cool. And also, one of the thugs who grabbed you was a half-orc. None of the other families employ orcs of any type.
Hello, Quiet Knight.
No, Quiet. Yep, Quiet Knight.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I understand that you are... once were part of the shadow.
Yes, totally once was... yep, that was me.
As you, in your carriage, go around the block once, Quiet Knife asks you to retrieve for him the gnomish weapon.
Oh, you're in quite a pickle, buddy.
And if you tell Papa Little, I will, well, let us say... acquaint you with the orcish way of dressing.
Gotcha. You want it? You want it? Not destroyed. You want it?
I want it for myself.
Oh, all right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
They pull up at the restaurant and shove you out of the carriage. They do not slow down. Sorry, I say they pull up. They do not slow down.
I want to scramble. Hopefully at the exact same spot so I can scramble for my drop cigarette.
You grab your still-lit cigarette and take a lot of puffs very quickly.
Well, one wants it destroyed and one wants it. There's an out. There's an immediate out.
Greg Pierce.
You all right?
You're a lowlife. Yeah. Handsome Tom, what's your character's name?
Periwinkle O'Rourke.
All right, Periwinkle, way back before the Black Hand came into the picture, you were a member of the Town Guard.
Yeah.
Quite a respected member of the Town Guard, to be honest. People knew that if they needed a problem solved, and they didn't care how it got sold, they could come to you.
Yeah.
You're a good cop, but you do bad things.
That's what I've got tatted on my back. In Orcish, obviously.
Yeah.
Out of the entire Town Guard, you were one of, like, a handful that the Black Hand didn't try to hire, and that's simply because people knew Jaren's Outpost is where you have roots. As a half-orc, it's hard.
You're always fighting uphill against the prejudices of the people. But in Jaren's outpost, you command a bit of respect, especially among the town militia, which was once the town guard, because they're your mates. You saved their lives, they saved your life. You're like tight, man.
Yeah, we play poker and stuff. No one cheats.
Your half-orc also wife, Gragia, has been berating you for the last fortnight. Every night when you come home from helping however you can at the town militia, she will not shut up. This gnomish weapon,
it is
going to destroy this town.
Can't have it out here.
It's just the worst. And maybe every night you're like,
well, what should I do about it, Gragia?
Jesus Christ, woman! I am but one half-orc man person.
And she tells you, give it to the church. They'll know what to do with it.
You and your goddamn church.
We're there every Sunday. This is where we have our roots. We can't have some gnomish super weapon floating around here. And you found out a couple days ago, your two little girls were being bullied at school.
Oh, no.
Instead of coming to you, they went to your mum, their nan, and asked her for help first. For someone who is like the go-to guy, that was very emasculating.
Why would they go to their... I don't know what like the nonna equivalent of an orc would be.
Why would they go to the knock-knock instead of me?
You know, you knock-knock and you pack-pack.
Come and sit on the pack-pack lap.
I like that you've got... Because you're a half-orc, you've got Nan and Pop, and you've got knock-knock and crack.
And pock-pock.
We're going to your grandparents. Anyway.
They went to knock-knock instead of me?
Actually, the little niggle that you got in your head is that if you were able to get the gnomish super weapon back to the gnomes, the gnomish kingdom has a lot of power and a lot of sway, but they never throw it around. The town has been warring at each other constantly. And if you could get the gnomes to help you fix up the problems around the town, everything could go back to normal, you would actually be the hero of the town.
Whoa. And my kids would stop going to knock-knock for advice.
But if you got the gnomish super weapon and didn't give it to the town militia, your mates would be like, what's that about, man? You could have helped us out. I thought we were close.
Hard place.
Your mates, your wife, or your pride?
My kids.
La Familia.
I like it.
La Familia. Yeah, got to do whatever you're
fighting for. La Familia.
I've got to go talk to my knock knock.
Knock knock. Just imagine like your orc grandpa like fishing somewhere and you're like both fishing together. You're like, I need some advice, pack pack.
I believe that knock knock and pack pack would also only speak orcish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like, they would like float in and out of English.
I like the idea of them being mad that you haven't taught your daughters orcish.
Yeah. Yeah, because my wife doesn't want them to know it. It's like...
The language of their home country.
The language of their home country.
She just thinks that they'd fit better, you know, fit in more at school if they were...
Hang on, something just occurred to me. So, if you and your wife are both half-orc, so how do you have one set of human parents and one sort of orc parents?
I would have...
You'd have one of each.
You would have a knock-knock and a
puppy. Yeah, you'd have a knock-knock and a papa.
Knock-knock and puppy.
Yeah, knock-knock and puppy. So, where the fuck was I?
Basically, I've got to get the thing back. It's either for the town, the church, or my mates.
If you don't give it to the church... Your wife, you will not hear the end of it. If you don't give it to your mates, you will not hear the end of it. If you don't give it to the gnomes, you might feel emasculated for the rest of your life.
Your kids
don't respect you. Well, it's not that they don't respect you.
They just don't think that I can help them fix their problems.
Yeah.
Knock, knock, though.
You probably went around to your parents' place. Sitting there at this table with like all these little doilies, but they're kind of sewn.
Doilies.
So maybe they're a little threadbare, and it's not a pattern, but like the war history of your mother's.
Yeah.
That's so good. Imagine her knitting that. Sitting in a big deck.
Oh, you really captured Thug off the Beheader.
Battle axe knitting thing.
In my head, like, you know, knock knock, she's the boss. And like Poppy's in the background cooking.
Yeah.
And he's like a really thin, weedy guy.
I like to imagine he grows tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm imagining him having like a veggie patch out the back and he's like quite timid and just like, no, that's your knock.
Always in like a white singlet and shorts. Always.
No matter what kind of climate it is.
Finally, Greg Pierce, the low life.
Yeah, that's me.
Going back to the halfling families just briefly, you're in a lot of debt. A lot of debt to a lot of bad people.
How deep am I with the halflings?
Well, it's not just the halflings.
Well, there's a list,
right?
You decided that probably the best way to solve some of your gambling debts, there is the daughter of a very wealthy merchant.
Yeah.
She's kind of pretty as well.
Right.
But you probably picked her because she was kind of pretty.
Yeah, right.
You decided that you're going to marry rich.
Best move in the game.
And
best move in the game.
Him worry about your debt.
No, even not. You marry rich. You're in the family. Family take care of you. That's what it's all about. Yeah. All
through
right.
A series of you bungling, but also lying pretty well, you were able to actually organize a date with her. Yeah.
Got her.
You were like,
Everything's coming up piss.
Sitting a little ways outside of Jaren's outpost, just like in an, under the shade of a nice tree. You roll out a little mat or something like that, having a picnic, turning on the charm.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
And you start chatting her up. But the only fucking thing on her mind that she will talk about is a militant religious group.
Right, yeah.
That are one of the factions that have taken up in the city known as the Sabres.
Real interesting there, yeah. Okay, this Sabres,
the Sabres yeah. follow the teachings of a goddess known as Lady Willow.
Right.
Who, in all things, exercises a certain level of militancy and adhering to rigorous religious standings. All so right. they're a new kind of religion, at least to Jaren's outpost. It's only since this chaos has kind of erupted that the Sabres have been able to actually secure a part of the city for themselves. And with all the crime and everything going to shit, people are like, yeah, a little bit of militant religion is what we need. And this religion has grabbed a large part of the city.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Specifically this girl.
Mm.
Laura.
Is this the same religion that my wife keeps taking me to church to, or are we just a different
no,
church?
No, that's the old religion. Gnomes and Penia.
Yeah, cool. Don't even know the name of it because I don't care about it.
The teachings of Gnomes and Penia, who your wife and by extension a lot of the people you go bowling with follow, is very peaceful, like a spiritual religion.
Bit Buddhist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas Lady Willow and the Sabres, by extension, exercise more of a like, if you want God's will in the world, you got to cut some heads off.
Right.
Very dogmatic. And
can't just make an omelette without batting a few
There's
chickens.
Not a lot of bending in
as it goes. Yeah, but I'm very with strange. You.
I've heard that saying before, yes.
Nonetheless, the date goes very well.
Oh, good. That's a drag piss charm.
You float the idea of getting married. She
After
seems
one date, you all.
Drag piss works fast.
You are very charismatic. Now, she floats the idea back that if you were to convert to Lady Willow,
right, yeah.
She would be more receptive. Or, like, she certainly tells you, with no uncertain terms, that if you are not of Lady Willow, of that religion, she would never marry someone like you.
Yeah, right. Understood. Of course, darling.
With this information, you went to try and get converted because, as if you fucking
can. Hello.
I love your religion.
I'm down for Lady Willow.
The paladins.
Get them good. Whatever's happening. Yeah.
The paladins there saw through you in a fucking instant.
Damn.
But they saw a man who knows this town a lot better than they do. They have not been here for very long. And Greg Pierce has a reputation for being a part of Jaren's outpost. And Jaren's outpost being a part of Greg Pierce. Everyone in town knows Greg Pierce. If not by reputation, then in the very intimate and carnal sense, knows Craig Piss.
You either know me by reputation or biblically. Those are the two ways.
Sometimes there is no third.
Sometimes both.
One leads to the other.
You were brought before Paladin Commander Evelyn Plain. She's the leader of the Sabres, at least in Jaren's outpost. A very strict and sometimes brutal woman. They kind of interrogated you about why you wanted to join. Maybe they didn't necessarily get the full story, but they certainly got a part of it.
Nah.
And they don't care about some merchant's daughter. What they care about, the gnomish weapon.
Yeah, but get it for your heartbeat.
The weapon has, you were told, too much power to be allowed into the hands of anyone except the Sabres.
You guys will do it right, won't you?
If you can bring them the weapon, they will pretend that you are part of their religion so that you can marry the merchant's daughter
so you can pay off your gambling debts.
That's relatively few steps, to be honest.
It's much more straightforward than that.
You left the district controlled by the Sabres on cloud 9. Happy as a fucking clam.
I can do that in a week. End of the week, I'm good.
Half off, really?
You were so pleased and excited with yourself that you decided that tonight you're going to shack up with a lady of the streets.
Oh, yeah. A comely strumpet.
But you're not going to pay her a goddamn cent.
Greg Pierce don't pay for strange.
Oh, God.
And you know what? The first streetwalker you propositioned was very receptive.
Excellent.
You're having an amazing day.
Yeah.
Except after the first drink with her, you fall unconscious.
Oh, fuck.
And wake up somewhere dark and unpleasant. Men and women in awful black robes with arcane symbols scrawled across them are standing around you chained to a table.
Yeah. All right.
Is this the deluxe package that we paid for?
A ritual is conducted.
Right.
Through the sounds of chanting, a goat is slaughtered and its blood is smeared upon you. As the goat's blood touches your skin, it burns tattoos your skin.
God.
They conclude the ceremony in... Do you know Draconic, the language?
I don't.
They conclude the ceremony in Draconic.
Excuse me?
And their final words in the ceremony in common are... And bind his soul!
What? Hey, why'd you just... That was the only thing I heard. That's the only thing I understood. To what? To you what?
Please don't be the goat. Please don't be the goat. Please don't be the goat.
Maybe in your still kind of groggy mind, it vaguely occurs to you that these people are probably the blood cult that owns a section of the city.
Oh, no. Not the
mystic
cult.
Order of the Holy Blood. These, shall we say, priests of a long-dead god believe that they can bring their god back to life by sacrificing enough blood to him. They sacrifice their own blood and very often the blood of others.
Right. Lucky it was just a goat. Better him than me.
Your soul has just been bound to something that you don't know.
Yeah, but I could have had my blood taken. And frankly, this is a win.
One of the cultists holds up a profane-looking holy symbol. And when he holds it up, you feel an icy coldness in your heart as if the warmth were leaving you.
Oh, wow.
And then you feel the warmth leave your body and bind itself to the holy symbol.
Hey.
Or the unholy symbol, if you will.
Yeah.
You can feel warmth that was once you, but is now the holy symbol.
Why? This is an odd week.
The cultist pulls back his hood and you recognize Ralph Moroni. Ralph Moroni is a local lord. Or he once...
Are you a part of the blood cult?
I am Father Moroni.
I'm Father Ralph, thank you very much.
Mr. Ralph, Father Moroni.
Father Moroni of the blood cult, right. Twist.
We will be making a sacrifice, and you will be helping us.
Yeah, all right. Not of me, yeah?
Not if you can get us. The gnomish weapon.
Oh, boy. Would you believe it was told a second person today?
It was told, and I myself saw with my own two eyes, that the gnomish weapon bled the streets.
Yeah.
The streets ran so red with blood, it was seen deep within the sewers. He gestures around you. And you notice that you are in the sewers of Jaren's outpost.
Right, all right. Okay. Well,
we wish to bleed this town dry.
Would that be enough blood?
Perhaps.
All right.
Improvise. Secure us the gnomish weapon,
yeah,
and you may have your soul back.
Yeah.
I was going to manage to
they hook you and turn you loose back in the streets.
In the streets. Oh, good. I think you're going to be like into the sewers.
No.
Good luck, Greg Pierce.
So, Greg Pierce, either pay your debts and don't die, or get your soul back. It's your choice.
Right. Bit of a conundrum. It's a thinker.
So many conundrums.
That's a thinker.
Independently, all three of you decide that tonight is the night. After some planning, you're going to steal away into the docks.
Right. This is it. This
the
is it.
Heavily fortified docks. Now, anyone who has been able to sneak their way into the docks has not been heard from since. The orcs haven't made an example of them or anything like that. They've just kind of disappeared.
Right.
Well, if I was smarter, I'd suspect fair play, but I'm not.
There's the map of the city, where divided off into the sections that each faction owns.
Okay. Man, the blood cults go... quite a few.
They own a lot of the fancy section of the city because the entire, what do you call them? The lords and ladies?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The gentry.
Nearly the entirety of the gentry
of
Jaren's outpost were members of this blood cult. Back in the days when King Goldcrest was around, the blood cult was kind of encouraged.
That's
rad.
It was seen as a hip and cool thing to do. The gentry did it. The halfling sort of section covers pretty much just Little Tigali. The gnomes and Penia, which is kind of up the top, that's the slums and the poor district, opiate of the masses joke, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I will. I love because gnomes is a religion in your world, but it's N-O-M-E-S. It's right next to gnomes, little lads.
The little lads.
Yep, so...
Also, Tigali, not spelled how I imagined, but I like
the way it's spelled. So the Sabres center around a small fort, Fort White, which was once controlled by the Black Hand, and they use that as that base of operation. The town militia occupy the most populous part of the town, so where you find the most people, that is not the slums. Cool. So like the middle class area, if you will. The blood cult own obviously the upper part, the part where all the fancy people live. The gnomes have the warehouse area, and the orcs control the docks.
Cool.
Finally.
I was about to say, what's that thing in the corner?
Yeah.
There's one last section. Rhodes Keep is the major castle of Jaren's outpost where Lord Damien Eaton lived. When King Goldcrest was in charge, Damien Eaton was the local regent, and he ruled Jaren's outpost with the same iron-handed style that King Goldcrest ruled the nation. He was a very unpleasant and unpopular man. When the uprising happened, him and his loyalists retreated back to the castle keep, and they've been there ever since, just quietly watching the rest of the town.
I immediately distrust them.
Well, rightly so.
Pretty much distrust everyone.
Although he was once your employer, so...
I immediately distrust him.
You'll notice there's a wall blocking off the dock area. Mm-hmm. You jump that wall in the night.
Oof.
All three of you independently. The orcs have no use for a lot of the shipments that were coming in and out through the docks. So things like designer goods, if you will, from the elven places, nice construction work from the dwarves, stuff like that. That's all been shifted to one side because orcs just fucking don't like dwarves and elves.
Yep.
The boxes are packed high. And moving in between these boxes to get closer and closer to the orcish camp, the large tribal-looking sort of string of tents and such in the docks, all three of you bump into each other. At first, maybe you wish to yell, say something like, "What are you doing here?" But then an orcish patrol passes very close, and you instead just decide to keep quiet.
What? I want to just, like, shake my head and put my arms up in, like, a shrugging motion. Like, do I know any of them, out of curiosity?
So... everyone knows Greg Pierce by reputation, if not carnally.
I wanted to do this just like a, did we?
Did we? I have a moment of thought where I'm like, oh man, like going through my mental Rolodex of
heist.
No, you actually, as a member of the town guard, you probably just know him by reputation.
I know him by reputation.
Yeah.
So, Greg Pierce, you would know Periwinkle.
Yeah.
You probably butted heads in the past. He used to be a town guard member, now he's a town militia member. Periwinkle, you don't know Leo Shadow. He's a small-time player, so you wouldn't have heard of him. Greg Piss, because you got a connection with the halfling families, you've heard of Leo Shadow. Yeah. You know he does their grease game. So, you're crouched among some boxes.
Are the orcs still, like, nearby?
Yeah, they've stopped and are having a conversation.
Can we hear what they're saying?
Oh, yeah. My legs are so sore.
They're comparing the flesh of creatures.
Human flesh is best. No, halfling flesh is best.
He's not wrong.
Human flesh tastes like pig. Well, then eat pig. But human, Lorik, I'm tired of having this conversation with you every day with this.
How big do we think the weapon is, by the way? Do I think it's like a handgun?
From the from the description, you know it's larger than a handgun. Actually, you guys would all be acquainted with the basics of gunpowder weaponry, by the way. You know that gnomes have, like, flintlock rifles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Leo,
yes?
You have heard the weapon be described as a Gatling gun.
Oh.
Oh,
boy.
All right. I'm just going to put both my hands up at both of you, trying to be like, who the fuck are both of you? What are you doing?
Say that or try to mime?
Well, if I say it, we're fucked, don't I?
You can be overheard. I'm not going to say you're necessarily overheard.
So how does message work exactly?
So you basically have a whispered conversation at a distance, probably going to be a lot quieter than actually whispering.
It's okay.
Magic, whatever. You can say a sentence to someone.
So I want to use it twice.
All right.
And then just be like, all right, so I guess you guys are here for the weapon, yeah? Because I'm here for the weapon too. Message. Message.
Funny because you don't have message.
It is a bit
funny. I might talk out loud and doom us all.
I was about to mention, each of you can describe yourselves if you want.
Imagine a guy that at first glance, you're like, oh, a halfling. But then you're like, wait, no.
That's just a short
that's
man.
Just a very short fella. Handsome. But, like, handsome from afar, and then the closer you get, you're like, that's an ugly handsomeness. Slimy, but not sweaty. And I always imagine him dressed all in black, don't know why.
Okay.
With, like, a kind of coiffed back hair.
Right.
Maybe a stash, maybe not.
Okay. I want you guys to imagine John Leguizamo.
Oh, yeah, yes.
But, like, even more Italian.
That's
okay. So that... with, like, maybe a little, because I want to kind of fit in with the mafia, so I've grown a little mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the classic little tiny thin ones, looking good. So, green cloak,
mm-hmm.
and just, like, kind of, like, very darkish kind of colors to kind of blend in with a knight. And I want to say maybe your, like, also, like, kind of, like a close-cropped hair kind of.
Oh, yeah. Sort of
style as well.
Yes. I gave you two magical daggers, yes. And I think a ring of protection.
Amulet, I want to say.
Amulet. Oh, that's right. Amulet and natural armor.
I have a ring of protection.
Which you got because you were afraid of being stabbed in the back.
Not fair. Makes sense to me.
Are you familiar with Clark Gable, the man?
I am.
I'm Clark Gable, the orc. So an orcish Clark Gable in my really cool B-themed town guard armor.
What happened was, it's not really town guard armor. In the chaos and the, like, civil war that happened, that's fine. In the chaos and the civil war, Port White was raided, which was once, like, a place where Damien Eaton stockpiled a lot of, like, the nicer equipment for rainy days and stuff like that. You were there at the sacking of Fort White. You saw on display this set of armor, and you were like, well, no one else needs it.
No, fits me. It's a
set of magical armor.
Yeah.
There's a pattern on it similar to that of a bumblebee.
Yeah, boy.
That's good. I'm imagining, you know, like some armor has, you know, you've got your, like, your plate and then in the connecting parts, like chainmail.
Yeah.
Imagine that chainmail looking like honeycomb.
Oh, good.
And then the plate looking like...
That's pretty much... Yes.
It also has a slight fuzz on it.
Yeah, just in parts. Oh, yeah, I've got magic punchy gauntlets too.
This was part of the armor.
Whoever designed this armor... really liked bees.
An elf by the name of Quaffling Bee, sir.
Oh, I also have a familiar as well.
Oh, is it with you?
I want to say...
More la familiar, yes.
I want to say he's like maybe perched up on the wall, keeping a bit of a lookout. So he's like, there's orcs there. They're still there. You can hear them, but they're still there. It's a magpie by the name of Meat Pie.
Delicious.
That's such a good name for
I like that magpie. I jokingly named it that, and you didn't change
it. I was going to call it like something like Rayburn, but no, Meat Pie's great.
Meat Pie's such a good name for a magpie.
Meat Pie the Magpie. Yeah,
Meat
I'm on board.
The Magpie.
Do we want to get through all of our magical equipment, or just like as it comes up?
Yes, as it comes up. That's all good. I will send message back to them, and I'll be like, no, not here for the... weapon.
So that's a...
That's a lie.
A bluff.
I need to get my soul back.
Yeah. You both believe that maybe he's here for something else.
So I'm just going to be like, all right, message back to Greg Pierce. Can you help me?
I'll help you out if you get the weapon. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm immediately distrustful because I feel like I'm being kept out of a conversation that I'm definitely being kept out of.
Oh, wait, how many orcs are around these two, or are these two pretty much separate from everyone else?
They're kind of on their own a little bit. They look like just a patrol that's, you know, supposed to be wandering around.
Sure. I'd like to take my loot out, put up a finger, give a thumbs up, and start play.
Both of you know him by reputation, so you do know that, like, he gets himself in the trouble a lot.
It's like, I take the loot out of your hands.
Do you just play a note?
No, I'm intending to fascinate the orcs. I'm going to fascinate the orcs, then I'm going to use suggestion, make them walk into the fire. They walk into the fire.
What fire?
Aren't they around a fire?
Yeah, there are like fires periodically.
Walk around a fire. What fire? Start a fire.
They're like small bonfires around.
I'm not okay with this.
It's going to be all right. Brum, brum. It's fine. Everybody calm down. Watch this. Watch this. I got them. Oh, wait, no. Only fascinate one person at a time. That's fine. That's fine. A new plan. This is going to be fine. Brum, brum.
Their talking stops.
I want to, like, strum the instrument, give you a thumbs up, strum again.
Leo, it's your turn.
I want to just kind of, like, hide a little bit then.
Leo Shadow disappears like his namesake among the boxes. They're still not talking.
Fuck did that little guy go?
They're not talking. That's good. That's good.
So they're still not talking.
You can't see them because you're like, all of you hit around like boxes.
Yeah.
But they've stopped talking. You're not sure what's going on. You'd have to
Can we hear them moving?
If you want, you can strain your ear to try and hear them, but that'd be your turn.
Nah, I'm just going to get ready for an inevitable fight. So I just like crack my knuckles, wind them up, and stick my head out to see where they are.
You stick your head out? They're, like, just standing where they were, being kind of quiet. Pierce, it's your turn.
Can I peek over and keep playing?
Yeah, sure.
Can I see whether they're...
Yeah, you can see that they're...
All right, I'm going to use suggestion, but I can only suggest on one of them at a time, can't I?
Yeah.
He's in love with you. I suggest to one of them that the other has confessed their love. Rum, 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 rum. He loves you and he just said he loves you. Have a conversation about that so we can sneak away. Stop guarding and just make out because you're in love.
Oh dear.
The orc that you said the...
Other orc loves, yes.
Yeah. Turns to the orc who he thinks professed his love to him.
Mm-hmm.
And... punches him in the gut.
Thumbs up to you guys. I'm like, strong.
Waking that one from your fascinate.
Thumbs down. Went wrong.
That orc turns around to see you two poking your heads up boxes.
Could I not have pulled my head down in time when he was unfit?
You're actually not aware of this.
Can I, like, keep
my thumbs down, presumably?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I saw the thumbs down.
Yeah.
Can I, like, peek my head out and see what's going on?
Yeah, you can have a look.
So
you see two orcs, one of them with a very gormless expression, the other one staring angrily in your direction.
What are we doing, Piss?
I will.
Piss. That's my turn.
All right.
Wait, could we have snuck away from them behind the boxes, Adam?
Well, yes. Absolutely.
Always bet on Piss.
I'm going to punch you so hard at some point during this adventure.
The orc roars angrily and throws a javelin, which hits Greg Piss.
Boom!
Well, the one that has the gormless expression has a big club strapped to his back. The other one has...
But he's too out of it to do anything with it.
Yeah, so long as Greg Piss is playing.
Do I keep playing with the javelin in me?
We'll find out on your turn. The other one, the one that tossed the javelin and is now charging towards you guys, is charging as he draws a giant... You know what a falchion is? Like a scimitar.
Yeah.
But big, like a two-handed scimitar.
Like Aladdin.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
All right.
It's
man,
a big sword.
It's sad that those orcs weren't good enough friends to sort of react to that like adults.
He didn't love him. Maybe you don't know the backstory. Maybe those orcs were lovers one time but are no longer together, and it's just this bit of feud that exists in them. And now you brought up these dark memories, and he's like, no, you broke my heart.
You were terrible to me. Oh, God, what have I done?
Oh, man. Now we just feel bad.
Terrible thing.
Periwinkle?
Well, because I'm pretty good at disarming shit, I'm going to try to grab this guy's scimitar out of his hands. Can I punch him at the same time?
Yes.
All right, I'm trying to grab the sword in one hand and punch him with the other.
You charge in. You bring your arms up like a boxer.
Yeah, like a boxer
would. You charge a lot closer than he's expecting, and so he's taken by surprise when one arm knocks the arm with the sword.
Yep.
grabs the arm with the sword, slides down to grab the sword at its hilt, and then you wrench the sword out of his grasp.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And he's even more surprised when you just, like, bang, once in the face.
Fuck. Pow, right in the kisser.
Yeah.
Pow, right in the kisser. I also yell, it's clobbering time.
He goes down.
Oh.
He crumples to the floor. Then it is Pierce. You can maintain the song.
Excellent. Right. I'll just suggestion to the guy that I'm playing.
You can only do this so many times, you know this, right? Your bardic music will eventually run out. You'll have to start it again.
Okay. You know what? I'm actually just going to keep playing, walk up to him, and slam him in the head with my lute.
That will end...
That's fine. We've started fighting them anyway.
I've started fighting. You're playing guitar.
One.
He's fucked off. I don't like either of you.
I came out and said, what are we doing, Piss?
You take out the other one. Well. Relatively silently, with the exception of the music that you had to play.
Tie him up, put him in the box, close the box.
Right, yeah. Who has rope?
Don't.
Can we push him in a box, shut the box?
Sure.
At the very least, when I wake up, they'll be so confused as to what, you know, what are we doing in a box?
Let's just disarm them all so they're weaponless.
All right, Falchion, and if you want, wood club.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, but if
the weapon. Need the weapon. Need
what do you need a weapon for?
Need the weapon. Little Tigler, you know.
I do know Little Tigler. Little
Beautiful, low. Little low.
Yeah, little low. Cuts little out low. His face.
You want to give the weapon to Little Low.
He's an all right lad. Actually, what I want to do, maybe destroy the weapon. Weapon's bad.
Look.
You all three hear a tremendous creaking sound. It echoes throughout the city. You turn around and you can see roughly where the warehouse district, if you will, is, where the gnomes are. There's this massive wooden construction being pushed upright. You're not sure what that's all about, but you can see it. It's like 6 stories tall, taller than the city walls, any of the city walls.
Maybe gnomes dropped something.
They're getting their weapon back. So yeah, I need the weapon. You said you
Where are you going to put the weapon? Where are you putting the weapon on? Are you taking it out?
Yeah, how big the weapon is?
It's big. Ooh,
maybe a boat. Get a boat. Maybe put it to an island. Leave it there for a bit. Yeah, and then we see who wants weapon the most.
Right.
I want the weapon the most.
I just
want
to, like, look with pleading eyes and just, like, help me in my eyes. I'm just like, I think I'm in deep.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean you need the weapon the most? What?
Yeah.
So
what's your story?
I don't know how to make this sound properly or accurately, but I'm assuming if I say the sound of a dragon roaring in the distance,
yeah, no,
you guys could all, like, sort of know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sound is roughly coming from where Rhodes Keep is, and you have all heard rumor that Damien Eaton had a pet dragon.
Interesting. Oh, maybe that's bad.
Time out on this conversation about weapon.
Yes.
What the fuck was that?